This Week in Wealth is powered by Alpha Wealth Group. If you're serious about retirement and have saved $250,000 or more, call Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino now, 630-934-1855 or alphawealthgroup.com. Alpha Wealth Group, retirement made simple.
This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Good morning, Chicago, and welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink. I'm the CEO of Best Money Moves, a financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino, the principal and founder of the Alpha Wealth Group here in the Chicagoland area.
Now, you can always find Tom at 630-934-1855 if you want to ask him about his different opportunities and the things that he does to help people get ready for retirement, or you can go to alphawealthgroup.com. So today, I want to jump in, Tom, and talk a little bit about something that is near and dear to my heart, which is people downsizing. So there were a couple of studies that came out this week that I thought I'd run by you. One of them is by Storage Cafe, which is a part of Yardi. Yardi is a software company, and what they do is they help landlords manage their rental properties. And so one of the things that they did this week is they released a study that looked at the financial logic of downsizing and how it depends very much on where you live. And among the 20 biggest metro areas, Chicago, Naperville, Elgin, which is our official name of our metro area, ranks 14th out of the nation for downsizing savings. So in other words, if you downsize in Chicago, you're likely to save around $160,000 on average. The most profitable move, they say, is between major metro areas, major cities. So, you know, maybe moving to somewhere less expensive than Chicago, although we're kind of at the bottom anyway. I'm reading this week, and I'm thinking, you know, this is something that you and I talk about all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Retiring and money and what you're going to do. And it struck me that we ought to think about how downsizing actually plays into somebody's retirement and how you've helped people sort of think through what it would take and what it's going to cost and what they're going to save and how to invest that for more regular income.
Yeah, this is such an important part of your retirement plan, this one piece. And as we were talking about this, Lee, there's so many moving parts to this. First of all, where do you want to live? How do you want to live? You know, that's critical. And then this whole, you know, many of us have lived in 20 years, 30 years, especially retiring, maybe in one home. You know, the kids are out. It's this large home. And now we're talking about downsizing. The mortgage may be paid off. And so, again, a lot of things to consider. Number one, again, where do we want to go if we do sell the home? You know, I have some people that have, because this, and especially with the real estate market the way it is, I have a client actually that sold their house, is going to rent for a year or so until they find another home and maybe see the real estate market subside a little bit. But it can be so critical, as I said, to your overall retirement plan on so many levels. Number one, if you do downsize, the quality of life, where you want to be, all that. The second thing is, as you mentioned, Lise, the monies that you will maybe come from this. One thing to keep in mind when you sell a piece of real estate, if that is your residence, each individual person has up to $250,000 of a capital gain exemption. You may be aware of that, but if anything under $500,000 for a couple of a gain on a home, there will be no tax on the sale of that home from a capital gains. So you can net, as you said, on average, maybe a few hundred thousand, whatever that number is. Well, now you can use that money as part now of your retirement plan to use that to fund your retirement.
I have some friends who just did this up in Michigan where they sold their house for just under $1.4 million. They had bought it 11 years ago for, I want to say, around $800,000, and they sold it for just under $1.4 million. Well, with all the work that they put into it, I think they netted out about $400,000. And so they pocketed that cash, a lot of cash, and then they turned around and they bought a new house about a mile from where they were, smaller. Definitely they went from 6,000 feet to about 3,000 feet. The new house is $800,000, and they took out a $200,000 mortgage. So they have cut their mortgage costs. They cut the cost of actually owning and maintaining the house. The taxes that they're paying, all of that is down. Of course, she wanted to redo the kitchen, but, you know, a lot of money pocketed.
Sure. And so, you know, this is something that we want to consider. Again, it's one piece of the overall plan, But how many of us have really sat back and thought about, you know what? Because sometimes this stuff catches up or creeps up on us, you know. Where do we want to be? Not only from a standpoint of, as you were talking about, at least the size of the house, do we want to downsize? Where do we want to be from a location standpoint? I will just say one other thing, and I don't know if you've come across this, but another important aspect of this is communication. You want to talk to your spouse about it, because there's been a number of studies that have been done. I think Fidelity had one out not too long ago, where it was over a third of the people, of spouses, had disagreements on when they would retire, where they would retire. So I would just say,
spouses who don't agree on that sort of thing? Really? Does that happen?
Not in my marriage, but I understand it does in others. Okay. But this is, I hope, one of the takeaways from this, Elise, where we talked, okay, well, what's the capital gain exemption? Okay, that's important to know. What's the value? You know, but also really to integrate this aspect of this, in some cases, some of our largest, one of our largest, if not our largest asset, into our overall plan. And so I think maybe the most critical aspect of what we're discussing here is how many of us have sat down, had the discussion, and really said, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, I've got the savings. I've got the 401k. I put the money away. I've got income that's going to come in, whatever it might be. I think I'm in a pretty good spot to retire. Okay, well, let's talk about the home, where you're going to, you know. So it's important to really, as we said, there's so many pieces to this. Where do you live? How do you live? What are you going to live in? You know,
What view do you want? I got to tell you, this is actually, I haven't done an official study, but I can tell you from the thousands of questions that my husband, Sam, who's a real estate attorney, and I get into our syndicated column every week, our Real Estate Matters column, this idea of how do you negotiate where you want to live as you're getting ready to move into this next phase is, I think, a conversation that people are very, it's just really difficult. It's one of these, like, personal things that you just don't know even how to open up that conversation.
But it's so important.
It's so important. And I think somebody like you could be, I could see you being, like, key to that conversation, Tom.
Well, you know, there's the financial
just putting you right in the middle of somebody's marriage.
You know, you can be objective. It's good to always have that third party, you know, to bounce things off of. But everybody's situation unique. I have one client who's going to buy a lot in Tennessee so they can, for the while, I don't know if, you know, this will be long term, but they're going to RV it. But they're on the same page. But it's so interesting. Again, this is so important. But maybe in some cases, it's really kind of overlooked, where you kind of forget about it because we're focusing on, okay, I got to save money. I have these other pieces of my plan. And we forget about this one, you know, where you live, your home, the quality of life and what you want to do. And there's so many options today. You know, these Airbnbs, you want to go somewhere for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, live there. You can live in a city, live somewhere. And so there's so many opportunities as you approach this. Again, the biggest part is communicate, understand what you want to do. And then there's opportunities to try to figure that out and, you know, examine, like I said, live somewhere, try some things and figure out what you want to do.
All right. Well, I want to come back and talk a little bit about this. And, of course, William Shatner is going into space this week. We're going to talk about that, too. Stay tuned, 630-934-1855 to talk to Tom or alphawealthgroup.com. I'm Elise Gling. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more of This Week in Wealth on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink here with Tom Fortino. You know, every week we're trying to help you think about retirement, but what we've been talking about is how your home factors into retirement. And what I wanted to just pick up on that, Tom, for just another minute, you know, we were starting to talk about what view you want to have in retirement. This is actually the conversation my husband Sam and I have been having, because we are very much mountain people versus water people. Okay. Right. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I just want to stare at the water. I want to, you know, we're more mountain people. But, you know, I said to him not too long ago, I really love the view in our backyard from our porch. And I said, you know, if I just look at this view for the rest of my life, I'm okay with that as well. And it struck me that, you know, having these kinds of conversations where what kind of view you want is really, you know, sort of a placeholder for the conversation you should be having, which is, what do you want to do when it comes time for you not to be working, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, sure, like the rest of us are doing right now? It kind of stands in for that. And I'm wondering, you know, when you talk to some of your clients, do you have those conversations with them? Like, do they have to get out of it, get into this other mindset of, I'm going to do something else with my time?
Yeah, I mean, we have these conversations a lot as we get into this because in many cases, they know that, and many of them are active. You know, I have clients who just can't wait. They're chomping at the bit because they have so many things on their plate that they want to do, right? Obviously, the most obvious is children and grandchildren and spending time, and whether it's they're the official taxi or babysitter, whatever that might be.
I'll be running a Lyft service for my grandchildren.
I have one client who golfs and says, you know, he's golfing all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've called him and he's like, Tom, I'm on the fifth hole here, you know, and which is, he's always nice about it. I appreciate that. But again, this is, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we kind of moved from the, where you live, and this all relates, and it's all so important to the conversation. We can talk about the nuts and bolts and the dollars and the amount you need to save, obviously critical. But then this whole quality of life, what do you do once you retire, and are we having this conversation? This comes back to that whole, when we said one of the biggest takeaways from, I think, today is, have you had that conversation with either with yourself, of course, if you're married, with your spouse, and really think about this. And maybe, even if you're 3 or 4 years out from retirement, maybe you take a trip somewhere. Maybe you spend some time. If you've got an extended period of time, as I was saying before, go.
Like a sabbatical from your job or something.
And live somewhere for a little while. This is important stuff. You know, when we talk about, which we didn't talk about, I guess we can talk about even, what about a second home, a vacation home? You know, I'm originally from Michigan. I live here. But I can tell you, if you're on the west side of Michigan, I think half of the population is from the Chicagoland area.
really? It's just, is that just southwestern Michigan or all along the coast all the way up to Charlevoix?
Kind of all the way up. It's crazy. But, I mean, it's great. But now we're talking about homes in different states. And so when we talk about the downsizing, a lot of people will say, well, you know, I'm going to downsize because I may not be spending as much time here. I want to have a vacation home somewhere, whether it's, you know, in Florida or New Mexico or wherever. And I have clients in Utah, New Mexico, Florida, Arizona, Kentucky, Tennessee. I mean, I have clients all over the place. Now, when we get into these vacation homes, that's another thing where you might have a second home. One comment I'll make on that is I have to make a statement as an advisor. Keep in mind, if you have homes in different states, please make sure they're titled properly in a trust, because when you have homes in separate states and they're just in your name, if you were to pass away, your children will go through probate in two separate states. So I'll just make that comment.
And let's carry that one step further, because then don't you have to file estate tax papers in multiple states if you have either property in another state? Aren't there also some tax things you have to do?
Well, if you have, again, it, depending on the size of the estate, but if you have the whole point of that home, whatever, let's say that home, you have a vacation home in Michigan, Bob and Jean Smith, whatever the name, right? You don't want your name or you and your spouse's name on the deed. You want it to be in the name of the Smith Trust, the Smith Family Trust. So that will avoid probate 100%. It will go directly to, so you won't even be involved in that state's probate system. And so there's really typically not much to file in that case with the state, and you won't, again, be subjected to that. So I just wanted to, as an aside, as we're talking, I know we mentioned about the capital gains. By the way, a vacation property could have capital gains, but just want you to understand, if you're buying a home in a second in another state, please be aware that you could expose your family to that probate in another state. So keep it in your trust if you have a trust.
Well, it's a great point. You know, how do you manage all of these different things? You know, one of the things, though, that I'm seeing is that younger people who still have plenty of working time ahead of them and may even have, you know, younger kids, now that they have the ability to work from other places, and a lot of white-collar jobs are just simply not going back to the office so quickly, I'm seeing people I know take vacation homes in other states for a month, 2 months. Last winter, I had friends who went down to Florida for 3 months, three different houses, trying it out, just sort of saying, well, you know, I like warmer weather. Let's see what this looks like for, you know, do I like this part of Florida? Do I like this part of Florida? I'm like, how did you feel? You tried out almost the whole state. They're like, well, there's a lot to like.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're in this situation today. It's kind of interesting, as we said, whether you're able to work remote, whether now you've got these opportunities with the Airbnbs to go to different places and stay there for a while. I mean, there's just these opportunities to really, you know, as I said, as part of your overall plan, to really start to make this a piece of it. So I hope, as I said, one of there's going to be a motivation here to really just maybe step back and say, besides, what am I going to do with my time? And that relates to, too, right? If someone's going to want to be active outside or you're a mountain person, I'm guessing you might want to have a place out west. I have a client who just moved out to Utah, loves it, thinks it's the greatest place. You know, these are things you want to, I guess, coordinate your interests with where you're going to live, obviously. I mean, it seems like that's obvious, but again, just give some thought to these things.
All right. So, of course, it's not that William Shatner is going to go live in space, right? He only did that with his career, mm-hmm. the Star Trek. But yeah. What do you think about the whole idea of him being the oldest person, boldly going where no really, really old person who's 90 has gone before into space? What do you think about that? Is it trying out your retirement? Is he ever going to retire? I don't know. But
you know, how can you not love William Shatner? I'm sorry. Right. 90 years old, and he's just sharp as ever. You would never know. He's just reinvented himself so many times. Obviously, his album, if you ever heard him sing Rocket Man.
Okay, I've not heard him sing Rocket Man. That's
very funny. But you can look it up online. He sings it. You have to look that up.
Okay.
Where let me change that. He kind of sings Rocket Man, but it's tremendous. That was when his Star Trek days, but yeah, he had an album.
Okay, but so this is a guy, I mean, he's a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? This whole idea of, you know, deciding you're going to do different things in retirement and making decisions and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And he clearly has never retired.
No.
So many people, though, are living into their 90s and beyond, right? And trying, mm-hmm. there's plenty of time if you're going to call it quits with your regular job in your late 60s or even early 70s. You've got 20 more years to go.
Sure.
Think about that idea of re-retirement, which the National Association of Realtors kind of coined, I don't know, any number of years ago. They said, look, people are going somewhere when they retire, and then four or five years later, they're going somewhere else to retire, and then they might, after 10 years, come back to where their kids and grandkids are, and that's sort of the last move.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing that with your clients?
You know what I'm seeing? A lot of, we bring back the children and the grandchildren, a lot of that ties, you know, Illinois, let's face it, a lot of people are leaving Illinois. We see that happening, but, you know, the tie to the children and the grandchildren, what I see fairly often is clients saying, well, we're going to get this second place, or we're going to move out, but they want to have this anchor somewhat here because of family. But, you know, there is that period of time, like you said, where you're going to be more active typically. You know, from 65 to 80 or whatever it might be, you should always be active. I would say there's so many resources out there, too. As we've talked about the point about where you're going to live, what are you going to do with your time? Really maybe take a look at all of these. My wife and I were vacationing not too long ago, and we were like, okay, what should we do today? And it was in the summer. We just took off for a couple of days, and we were in a golf community. And I've golfed, she's golfed, but we don't really do it. And we thought, you know what? Maybe we're going to start taking lessons. You know, and so that's something, whatever it might be for anyone out there who's not sure, again, maybe take a look at this because it's a quality of life decision. What do you really want to do with your time? It could be, as we said, it could be travel. It could be volunteering. It could be golf. It could be obviously taking care of children. I have some clients who work with their children in their business. They're counsel, as they say, and they're usually, it's pretty good. They get a pretty good discount on the salary. When you're helping out your kid, the kid doesn't have to. So there's just so many things that can be done. I would say, again, take a look at these things and how you're going to incorporate it into your overall plan. It's part of the plan.
Yeah. No, it really is. Well, you know, again, so much to unpack every single show. I'm like, wait, but we didn't get to this other thing. So I guess we'll just have to come back next week. If you want to talk to Tom a little bit more about this, there's so much to unpack if you're planning out your retirement, thinking about how you're going to protect your money, creating income that funds all of this fun stuff. You can find him at 630-934-1855 or go to alphawealthgroup.com. Hey, Tom, I'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Look forward to it.
All right. For all of you out there, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
Tom. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. Alpha Wealth Group, WGN, and RWA are not affiliated. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specialized in fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors. Insurance and annuities offered through Alpha Wealth Group, licensed in Illinois.